Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to put the phone down now, so we'll talk soon. But let me take care of my business here, but we'll continue with the show.
Okay.
I can.
Thank you.
Ken, you still there?
I'm still here.
Amy, you there? Hello? Amy. Ali. Okay, yep. Gloria.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Reverend Pinckney.
How's everything going?
Well, everything has smoothed itself out for now, so.
That's what I want to hear. What I want to do you have the minutes from last meeting?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you speak first, you talk, then I'm going to have Amy to go next, then Elvira going to go after that, and Ken going to run the show. And by that
all
time,
right.
I'll be back. So so you go ahead with the minutes and take care of that. And after you get through, then Amy going to come on, and after Amy going to be Elvira. She's going to tell her story. I hope I'll be back by the end so I can listen to it.
All right.
So Ken?
Yes.
All right, you handle things for me.
Okay.
All right, then. Talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks, Reverend Pinckney.
Bye now.
Hello, Ken?
Yes, Gloria. Go ahead.
All right. This is Gloria here with the meetings. Hello, my TI community. Once again, we're letting people know to send Ken Rhodes the $20. That will help with transportation of Reverend Pinckney or perhaps a TI that's stuck or something. And Ken's address, his last name, the spelling of his last name is Rhoades. The address is 2836 Hall Road.
Gloria.
Yes.
It's 20836.
Oh. How in the world? 20836 Hall Road. and that's in Clinton Township, Michigan. The zip code is 48038. And the next thing is the dinner with Danny Glover, which is October 5th. That will be $50. That will include a year's subscription to Vanco, dinner with Danny, and you'll also receive a T-shirt. And people in the Chicago area will be meeting with Bobby Rush. I hope everyone gets together so they can attend that meeting. And we had Sahara speaking last week. She was giving us an overall view of Operation Paperclip, which was in 1945. And she talked about MK Ultra mind control and how they recruited the Germans to come to the United States and how they falsified their employment and their work papers. And it was a mess, and it still is. It carries on to this day. Ken Rhodes gave us a rundown how they were people were going to a park for the 4th of July, and they had their coolers and their food, and they were not allowed in the park with the coolers. And if you go to an NFL football game now, you can no longer carry a backpack. Something's wrong with that picture. Dorothy gave us a rundown about, well, she said the Wikipedia is sometimes a location for disinformation, but we'll keep our minds open on that. She talked to us about Skull and Bone, and they supposedly still have Geronimo's head. And she also discussed the special area for whistleblowers, such as Wilberforce, Rosa Parks, and our own Lynn Stewart. And those were the minutes from last week. Thank you for listening.
Gar, do you have anything else to say, or?
Oh, yes, I do have something else I would like to include. That is the, it's called the Elf God. And a lot of people have been saying, oh, God spoke to me. And well, the God doesn't speak in your head. He speaks to your heart. So that's something we should all keep in mind. But I want to start at the bottom of the paper as opposed to starting at the top. There is a very dangerous element being played out on the unsuspecting people of America today, this being hidden amongst the black programs buried within our intelligence community, security agencies, and the military. ELF, E-L-F, ELF and mind control is without a doubt the most dangerous and deadly weapon of warfare affecting people across America today. ELF is a high-tech weapon abbreviated for extreme low-frequency signals, which mimic natural brain waves. It is not only used to brainwash and control people, it's used to physically attack them as well. And you can look up some of these patents that has been filed by the United States government. U.S. Patent 5159703. It's called Silent Subliminal Presentation System. U.S. Patent 5507291. That's Method and Associated Apparatus for Remotely Determining Information as to a personal to a person's emotional state. That means they can figure out how we're feeling. U.S. Patent U.S. 5629678. Implantable receiver apparatus for tracking and Recovering Humans, U.S. Patent 6014080, Body-Worn Active and Passive Tracking Device, U.S. Patent 5868100, Senseless Animal Control System using GPS Global Positioning Satellite Location Information. And I had the opportunity one day, I have a housekeeping service, so I'm at someone's home, and the gentlemen were putting this wireless technology in their backyard to keep the dog in the yard. So when they finished and they put the collar on the dog was running around the yard. When that dog hit that area where the, you know, the fenceless, the invisible fence was, it's as if it's something threw him back. I was like, oh God, how horrible, how terrible to do such a thing to an animal. But that's what they're using. That's the technology they're using this day. And this article was written by Sherry Schreiner. Sherry has done a lot of articles and has told you how to make the Oregon to put in your yard and just different things like that. So it's quite a thing we have going on here. Now I'm going to read the top. For the second time in the last few years, women have been manipulated into killing their children at the direction and leading of God's voice. Most of us would think they are delusional or schizophrenic or just plain lying. But are they? I'm beyond thinking crazy things just happen anymore. I left that thought world or way of thinking a long time ago because crazy things just have a way of getting too much help to make them happen. Was Columbine just a bunch of radical kids on revenge, or were they, as the mounting evidence suggests, mind-controlled and triggered to do exactly what they did? If you want to know if something is legal or crazy, you have to look at the circumstances surrounding it. Shortly after Columbine, gun legislation that was stalled had been suddenly passed. Bang! Gun control agenda. The reason for Columbine. The sniper in D.C., which was without a doubt another mind control pawn, triggered to take the fall, and for what reason? To instill fear and justification to the public for the Homeland Gestapo Agency and the more stealing and confiscation of our rights and liberties. If they're going to declare a war on domestic terrorism and spend billions creating Nazi agencies, they have to make it look needed and terrorism real. And they managed to get rid of an FBI agent who was probably threatening to talk of those that were randomly killed. John Salvo's defense simply should have been, the government made me do it, and perhaps all their tactics would have been exposed. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Gloria. Amy, are you on?
Yes, I'm on, Jim. Thank you. I wanted to share with everyone to look up about extra low frequency waves that's used for mind control, and also it is used for VARP, the weather modification program.
Amy, I don't know about the rest of them, but you're breaking up real bad. I can't hardly hear you. I don't know about the rest of people. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Real plain now.
Okay, Elf Waves Mind, look this up on YouTube. Elf Waves Mind Control Waves Heart
conjunction, and it says with YouTube. Now that is explaining how mind control is used on our brain waves, because our brain waves also is operated on extra low frequencies, and because our brain waves are operated on extra low frequencies, it is scientifically proven that our brain waves are considered equivalent to a radio waves on the same exact frequency. And because of that, they are using the extra low frequency to attack our mind to communicate with us. And also, we can look up inventor Patrick Flanagan's neurophone, which, if you look at, it was a video that is called Heart Hidden Enemies, Weather Modification, and that right there explained some of the things about the skull and bone, the heart, how they use different techniques of bringing in reasons why, talk about aliens and different other things about how they use certain things to have their way, to pass laws, to have an excuse why things were created. And out of this, on this specific YouTube, they talked about how NSA and CIA was established. And they stated that CIA was established at Yale University, where the skull and bones, the home of skull and bones. And then they showed how President Bush Jr. was affiliated with this. And also note that HARP, the HARP machine, is also the Star Wars weapon of defense system that was funded by Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. And those are the things I wanted to share with you to bring clarity of last week when Gloria was reading information about Eon Spheres. The reason why we spoke specifically about Eon Spheres, because the ionic sphere, which is non-ionizing radiation or ionizing radiation, is a ray of different types of energy, electromagnetic energy, radio spectrum, microwave, Tesla waves, and other types of waves, laser beams. All of those are considered the family of non-ionizing radiation of the radio spectrum band. And basically, the reason why that class was, this information was shared with you, so you can get on the level of understanding how direct energy is used as a natural form of energy, as well as which is a natural form of radiation. It can be used to create a man-made device and turn it into a weapon. And because you are an electromagnetic being, use that same electromagnetic radiation, which is non-ionizing radiation as well, which is equivalent to the radio spectrum. They can use that, tune into your brain waves on an extra low frequency, and create mind manipulation, calling it mind control. And these are the reasons why we want you all to learn the scientific aspects of what lead up, how mind control is actually performed. They can use the power lines, transformers, radiate your home, use that radiation as a gigantic antenna in your home, to create a Wi-Fi to turn your home into a laboratory research program for mind control and hover this type of energy on your body. No matter where you go, you are attacked from this type of technique because we are surrounded by electrical grid. The earth is an electrical grid, and they don't need nothing but to know the frequency your mind is on and tune into your brain waves. Anybody can be attacked and tortured by mind control. So that's why we want to, last week, Gloria read the information, getting people become familiarized with scientific terminology. So when we explain these terms on a lower layman's term, you'll understand what it is we're saying versus just think we're just making these things up. This is a serious matter of mind control being used covertly on the United States citizens and abroad, and that's why we invite you to out to these conference calls to educate, further educate some who are just becoming targeted or basically want to know what's happening to learn how to join us to fight with us so they won't become tortured by the technology as well as their family being victims of it. And when you do that, you got two things going. You have opportunity for yourself to want to not be dumb about things you know nothing of, but to learn about it so you can better combat it and so you can neutralize it being used on you or your family if you're not a targeted individual. Because you have been given the information, so you want to be able to use that as opportunity to help yourself. And another thing we want to share with you, we know a brother Peter, which is a dear friend. We get on, we share a conference call with Will, brother Will I Am, and brother Will, brother Peter invited us. Hello. Brother Peter invited us on the show, on Renaissance show, and he brought a childhood friend on the show named Mayor Chokwe Lumumba. And the mayor, he is a human rights activist, and we told him briefly what it is we're dealing with as targeted individuals. And I made sure that I didn't go too much into details about a targeted individual because it wasn't important to do that. What was important for me to schedule an appointment with him so that we can get the opportunity to share with this information with him and establish some city support to introduce to his city, as him being a mayor, what mind control is and how it is affecting United States citizens' lives covertly, how it's created man-made medical illnesses in their bodies by cooking on their internal organs with these extra low-frequency waves. And we have an appointment with the mayor, Lumumba, on August the 1st, 2013, at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is Jackson, Mississippi Mayor Lumumba, and by us having that opportunity, we want to make sure we go over there and share tangible good information for us to be able to get opportunity to set up shop in that city, to educate that city and receive legal support, medical support, and any other support we think we may need to expose this to you on a universal level so we can stop these things, these COVID operations being committed against us. Because one of the things I am suffering from, they are fighting me, my attackers are fighting me over my speech patterns. When I speak to you, I may speak double something because they're trying to put a torch in my head for me to say a certain thing. So bear with me because this is what happens to TIs that fight hard to help stopping these COVID crimes. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, Elvira, are you on?
Hello? Are you looking for Elvira?
Yes.
Oh, are you going to handle it, Elvira?
Hide me?
Are you going to talk?
I'm going to try.
Okay, all right. I'm here if you need me.
It's difficult for me to talk. I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm having bleeding. But I tried to tell Gloria the beginning of the story so she can give it to you, how all this got started. And it started at Broward General Hospital. It started with a Jewish attorney, the NAACP, four-hour star band, toxic mold, and my protest. You know, I have about over 10 things under my belt in protesting and activism from Florida to New York. I mean, to D.C.
Well, Elvira, could you fill us in on what happened yesterday?
That's what I'm going to try when we get to that. But they need to understand what happened. And everywhere I go, you know, I went into the hospital for an asthma attack. And I was waiting for my doctor to release me. But then, in the meanwhile, this girl comes in. I got to see a social worker. The social worker told me she liked the person that I was asking if this girl was her mother. Long story short, the girl come in and she say I needed a blood thinner. I told her I was waiting for my doctor to release me. And she started injecting me with this toxin. Really, that's what it was. Turned out to be. After they did that to me, I'm just trying to jump to now. After they did that to me, they put me in the mental hospital. I called the media because the media used to follow me around a lot. They were doing books on me, articles, different things. So the media called the hospital. They released me. Then that was the second time that that had happened to me. I moved to Georgia. It happened to me in Georgia. I'll tell that story about Rome, Georgia. They played war tapes on me. They did all kind of things to me. Then from there, the fourth time it happened was in New York last year over the toxic waste site and me complaining about my head bobbing and the bleeding and all that. So then now here, they've been trying to do it to me since I've been here. Also have some, it's really four presidents of the NAACP. They have taken my disability money and my union money, my pension money. These are the social workers and doctors. And I'm also the granddaughter of the West Africans that they sold it to tribes and they come to the American government. The American government made a deal with them. And they told them for each child they have, they put them with the Cherokee Indians, each child they have, they get 10 acres of land at $1 an acre. So that also has something to do with what's happening to me because of the land. And then, so now here, I'm going to just fast forward on up to here because I can get someone else to explain why. They're trying to discredit me because Florida also paid me off in 08. The mold and different things and housing that had happened to me. And president of the NAACP, two of them, and the Senator Bill Nelson and Mel Martinez's office, they took the money, they put me on the streets homeless. They're keeping me homeless, out here sick, denied medical treatment and everything else. They want you to think I have hemorrhoids when really it was what the toxin that was injected into my body. So the doctor's office that I was going to here, they're doing the same thing that they started in New York. I went to the hospital, to the doctor's office Wednesday. They had sprayed the room like they were doing to me in New York. It made me really sick. And now the blood, you can see it covers the water and everything in the toilet. So they wanted me to come over there this Wednesday to see a psychiatrist. I told him I don't have to see a psychiatrist. It wasn't nothing wrong with my mind. It's my body. Long story short, so I didn't go over there. So the social worker came here. She was talking about the protest that we did in Washington, D.C., about the Church of Scientologists, about how bad they were and this and that. I said, tell me what church don't have any dirt on them. Then she started sitting here telling me about how she had anxiety, and she was killing me at the same time. So when she left, I called the people and I told them that I wanted to change her, my social worker. I didn't want her for a social worker because of the things that they were doing to me. So, like I said, I wouldn't go back over there to the doctor's office or anything. And then I was talking to him, and then Gloria came in, and she was talking to him. And they were supposed to call me back. They never called me back, and I never called them back. They have taken my medication from me, everything. Anyway, yesterday, the social worker kept calling me. I wouldn't answer her. So next thing I knew, I'm laying up here. I'm damned if I go to the hospital. I'm damned if I don't. So I'm just trying to figure out what to do, how to do, and stuff like that when the social worker appeared at the door. I was laying here, then all of a sudden I hear my name called and my door opening at the same time. And they come in. She came in with another social worker. So I told the other social worker, I do not want this woman to be my social worker anymore. So they told me that there was two other women that maybe they could, their organization can help me. So I said, okay, I'll talk to them. Two other women came in. One was sitting over there falling asleep just like that other social worker was. And so next thing I know, they were talking to me. Then they left. Then the next thing I know, the police was at my door. And they were claiming that the people from the, that delivered the food to you, that's called Meals on Wheels. They were claiming that the people that were delivering the food every day to me, that they were making complaints about heat, this, that, and so on and so forth. I said, I'm from Florida. I don't need no AC. I use fans. So they had brought me a fan already. So I don't know what the big deal was. So next thing I know, there's another knock at the door and the door opening at the same time. Not Miss Williams. So we come in. They're walking in, the police. He said, I got some people who want to talk to you. You remember you asked me about an advocacy group? And I said, yes. So he said, I need to take a bath. I need to get dressed, you know, stuff like that. He said, no, just come just like you are. So I said, okay, because I didn't want to argue or anything with him. So I just went with him. Because this officer was the officer that when I first got here, they were spraying me so bad with the chemicals that I thought I was going to die. And I wanted them to know that if they found me dead in here, why? So then when I told him about it, it stopped. So when he came yesterday, he told me, he said, remember you asked me about an advocacy group? I said, yes. So the other officer that was with him, he said, you better be glad that Officer Smith came. Because the ones that they wanted to send around here, things would have been much, much worse. That's what he said. And Officer Smith was telling me, just come on, Elvira, come and go with me. I'll bring you back. So I said, okay. I said, but I really would like to take a bath. He said, no. So I just put on a shirt, and I went with him, put me in the back of the police car. And he took me to this mental hospital, Chester Crozer. If you type up Yvonne Hill's story, you'll see that same group in her story. You know, if you just type Yvonne Hiller, Philadelphia, PA, and you'll see how her skin feels. If my skin is the same, burns, my hair, my eyes, my throat, my teeth, it's just everything. And so when we got there, it was the mental hospital. So I said, well, why am I here? And he didn't say anything. He said, I'm going to wait for you. That's what he said. And so then that's when I talked to Gloria. And then he said, he asked Gloria, was she coming to get me or something? They said, well, you got to hang up the phone. So I had to hang up the phone. He went and sat in his car. They made me take off all my jewelry, all my clothes and stuff, and put on a gown. I told him, I said, I'm being kidnapped again. This is the fifth time that this has happened to me. And I want to know why. Why? And then I say, but I'm not signing nothing. I say, I'm bleeding. And I say, and this is why I didn't go to the hospital yet for the bleeding, because I know that this was going to happen to me. And I say, I felt damned if I do, damned if I don't. So they wasn't listening. So I went to the bathroom. I came out with the tape toilet paper, and I showed them the blood on the toilet paper. Then I told them to go look in the toilet, the blood that was in the stool. So they told me, they say, we have to send you over to the emergency room part. So they took me over to the emergency room, and all they want to do is stick their fingers up my butt so they can say, I have hemorrhoids. Instead of taking the toxicology test I've been asking for since 2004. And then they made let me know that Dr. Tran from the doctor's office over here was at that hospital, because he got on the phone. He's on the intercom calling, Dr. Tran. I said, that's the doctor that's causing all this crap that I'm going through. And so then I didn't say nothing. I told him that they need to take x-rays and stuff where I was injected and where I had to have a partial hysterectomy to have the stuff removed from my tubes. And it was also in my digestive system. I had to have it removed, 4 pallets of that. And so I told them, since I wouldn't let them do that, they just went away. And then the second shift came on. This guy came in with a nurse, and he said, you either let me go up your butt, or we're going to put you in the mental hospital. I said, you know what, I don't give a fuck. Excuse my French, but this is what I said. What y'all do to me? I say, I really don't. I don't care anymore. You can do what you want. But if you're not going to do what I say and then look at my medical records or with a doctor that removed this thing from my body, if you're not going to take a look at that, if you're not going to test my blood for toxins, then leave me the hell alone. Go ahead, put me over there. I don't care. Because I know that's where they were going to take me anyway, because that's where my clothes, my phone, and everything else was. And so he went away. Then they took me back over to the mental part. And I was sitting in there. Then after I was really in a lot of pain and stuff, they wouldn't give me no food, no nothing. I said, look, I haven't eaten all day, not even the Meals on Wheels food that they bought me. It's still sitting up there. And some others had problems that when I left the house that needed immediate attention. And I said, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing what then? Nobody would say nothing. Next thing I know, these two doctors took me in. One doctor took me in a room asking me questions. Who is the president of the United States now? Who was before that? And before that, I answered the question. And then he asked me, do I hear voices and stuff like that? I said, no, I don't get B2K or this or that and so on and so forth. And he just looked at me like he knew what I was talking about when I said B2K. And so then he said, well, another doctor going to come in and talk to you too, Dr. John. So I said, okay. Dr. John came in. He said, I want to ask you some questions. Basically, he asked me the same questions. And then so he told me, he said, we're going to send you home by taxi, cab. And so you have to go out there and wait until the cab get here, and the hospital is going to pay for the cab to take you home. So I said, okay. So I waited. Finally, the cab come. And the cab driver said, I don't know what he heard or how he know what was happening, but he said, you ought to sue him. I said, ain't no attorney going to touch this. So he brought me on to the house, and, you know, that's it so far. And then I called Mills on Wheels, and I told him, please do not deliver me any more meals, because that social worker was getting to the people that was delivering the meals, having them come back telling lies, and that's probably what caused what happened yesterday. I don't know what happened. I really don't. I have to call the police department to find out why the police came here. I haven't done that because I really don't have the strength, you know. So basically, that's it. And so far today, nothing. I haven't heard from any of them. So that's it for now. And I got out, then I heard a lot of people was calling me, telling me, and I'm very appreciative. I'm very thankful that everybody was called, and that could have been why they released me too, you know. I believe so, along with seeing the blood and everything, but they didn't treat me, so I'm still having that problem, still bleeding. And it's dangerous for me to go to any ER or any doctor's office, or the same thing will happen again without having someone backing me. You understand? Without backup. Just like if you all hadn't backed me up at the hospital, I probably would still be in there. And I want to thank Gloria, and I'll try to tell her as much of the story that started this so everybody understand what's going on here. It's got to do with my inheritance. It has to do with the money that the state of Florida paid me off, that the president of the NAACP, they took it away from me. And I'm still trying to have that investigated. So they know that, and they're trying to have me declared mentally ill, either about maybe the inheritance and about the money that they stole from me. I was an antiques collector. Legal Aid wanted some of the stuff that I was collecting. They took it. They put me out on the street homeless. I've been just homeless ever since, trying to get in this and end the chemicals that they spraying on me and stuff like that, but it's just, I don't know. I just have to pray, and that's it.
Okay, Elvira, let me say something. You better leave the police alone. Why are you worried about why they came out there? I wouldn't be calling the police. That's just okay. But that's only, listen to me. I'm not putting you down. It's only me. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you.
Well, I just wanted to know why they came here, what made them come do that to me.
If you start calling them, they'll come out there again. The next time, you may not be so lucky. So, but you can do what you want to do. I mean, I can't tell you what to do. I'm just telling you what I wouldn't do.
Well, the officer that came, he really have been really, he protected, kind of protective.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
A nice
well,
cop and bad
doing,
cop.
I'm going to listen. I'm not going to call, you know.
That's what you got to understand. And tell this thing, this folks, they are not our friends. They mind can be manipulated to do the things they're doing. They are not our friends when we talk about mind control. If we talk about specific things that they relate to besides this technology, that's different. But when you're talking about this technology, you got to leave the police alone. That is not just a cat running in front of a car.
Okay.
The more you go into the mental hospital, the more they can covertly try to murder you and act like you were mentally ill. You should not want to keep going in the hospital as a TI.
All right, Elvira, thanks for telling your story. And I think he said Dorothy was on next. Are you there, Dorothy?
Talk about the barriers of what TIs go through and what makes some of the things hard for TIs.
I'll tell you, last Friday, Alex Jones was talking on his show, and he told the people that Homeland Security will be beaming voices in your head. So It looks to me like he's getting ready to start coming out and talking about some of this, too. I was really surprised to hear him say that. But I'll let somebody else talk because I really wasn't prepared to talk. So, is anybody else want to talk?
Yes, this is Gloria once again, and I have been doing a lot of research under Professor Khalifa Ali, and we sort of found something, we found the end of something which made us backpedal to find out what was going on. And what we found was a company called Fish and Richardson. And in the article that they had written, they said that they have its wireless medical devices and implants, and it's used to manipulate the body. So we're like, what? So then we started going back. What we discovered, if there's an implant in anyone of any type, there's usually a number on it, like an invoice number or something. And we are listed with our numbers on from our chips. We are listed as patients. We're not listed as targeted individuals. We are listed as patients. And when Professor Ali decided it is the medical community that we have to focus on, I totally agree. Because Mrs. Williams, Elvira Williams, should have been treated, from what I'm understanding, is whatever surgery or whatever they gave her, it must have formed some type of pouch in her intestines. That's where it fills up with blood. Then the blood spills over when she goes to the bathroom. If we can stop the medical community, I think we can get somewhere. They're being exploited. We're being exploited. And it's mind control, total mind control on their part. Because they look at you, they don't want to hear, you know, if you hand them a DVD, they don't want it. They don't want it. After several years of not seeing a doctor, because at that same facility, I understand what Elvira's talking about. I went over to that doctor. I can look at the office from my house. I went in, my doctor wasn't there. I said, my ears hurt. My eardrums hurt. Could I get some drops or something? She said, oh, I'll get someone that can help you. The next thing I knew, two policemen came with handcuffs and handcuffed me. And my daughter she called my daughter. And my daughter said it was something about that woman's voice that just didn't set well with her. And at the time, my daughter's children were small. The baby was on her hip. And my daughter came over. She came in screaming, let my mother go. Leave her alone. They took me to Fitzgerald Mercy Hospital, a facility here in Delaware County. And I had to wait for several hours for the doctor. When I finally spoke with the Dr. Fitzgerald, we talked. We just had general conversation. Where'd you go to school? How many people in your family, blah, blah, blah. And when I told him what was going on, he said to me, he said, you know, Gloria, this sounds like a peculiar story. It sounds as if you're saying to me, there's squirrels in my neighborhood that have cameras on their head and they're looking in my window. I said, pretty much. And he said, well, it sounds peculiar, but you're not mentally ill. So you go home. Now, I'd look for that doctor. After I've looked for that doctor, cannot find him anywhere. It's like he just vanished off of the face of the earth. So we really have to mobilize and stand our ground and raise our signs up and go against the medical community. I had a doctor he was checking my ear out, and I told him about a sore in my nose. He took the deal out my ear, stuck it up my nose, never went back to him again. I said, I thought you're supposed to change them. Oh, yes, I said, no, don't bother. I said, I'll just do what I've been doing with my nose. So when he called me, are you coming back? I said, no, I don't know. I'm praying on it. Don't you trust me? Oh, no, I'm really praying on that one. He said to me, well, I'm going to call your daughter. I said, go ahead. I had her. So he called my daughter. He then tells me, he had been, before he called my daughter, he said, well, Dr. Eisner wanted me, which was a neuropsychiatrist. He wanted me to check you for syphilis. So Monday morning, this was on a Friday, first thing Monday morning, I called Dr. Eisner's office. I said, I didn't get any results from my test. What was going on? The secretary, oh, everything is fine. The doctor was pleased with you. He said, you're fine. Because they only charged me $20, which they said it was going to be from $150 to $365. So I said, well, didn't he want to have me check for syphilis? She said, syphilis? I said, yeah. She said, there's nothing here in your record. I said, oh, okay, thank you. I must have misunderstood. So I figured that doctor wanted me to come back to that office because if he checked my blood, he was going to give me syphilis. And I refused. You know, it's like I told him. I said, well, if I have syphilis and I die, the dear Lord will take me, syphilis and all. So, you know, we have to go against the medical community. Professor Ali, do you have something to add?
Okay. I wanted to share. That's a joke what Gloria is saying, because she does how she what she just spent, that I really am wanting to go out and do the research, because we all do research, but some of us don't have the time to research a little bit more than others because they work or have to tend to their children or whatever the case may be. But in my case, I have full time to do research, trying to figure out how best we can explain what's happening. But I learned that many U.S. citizens in the United States became targeted individuals after discovering that they have been placed into these medical black op research programs. Now, once the targeted individual discovers that they have been placed in these type of programs, they are attacked with microwave, non-ionizing energy, laser beams, any type of electromagnetic energy, which is a form of radiation. They are tortured 24 hours, 7 days a week. This technology has the capability of creating man-made and terminal vital organ illnesses. And sometimes when you go to get out your bed, your muscles and your extremities can be locked up on you because they are using your energy to fight you against your energy. So when you move, they know what frequency it will take for you to move, so they will create malfunctions in your body. And people know that in the medical community as being having arthritis, something wrong with the limb. And if those who are attacked in that type with this technique and they're not aware that this technique can be used on, this attack can be used on them, they will go to the hospital or to the medical community and be declared as having arthritis. And they can use this technology and give you temporary memory loss if you're young or older, and then people think that some elder people are suffering from some type of amnesia or Alzheimer's or that other illness, that other memory illness that people have is dementia. That's it. So when they use this technology on your mind and altering your behavior and giving you temporary memory loss and you get older, that is sad because some people, elders, live alone. And when they live alone and they have their own home, can you see the sinister plot of how this technology can be used on seniors? They can use that technology on a senior and act as if they're having these type of Alzheimer's, dementia, or any other type of illness, brain disease that they claim that you get when you get older. And then they can take these seniors home, especially if they don't have no family, put them in the of illnesses in people. So those are the things that I'm sharing.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm back. We only have about 3 minutes. We want to make sure that everybody on point, and when something happens to any member, regardless of whether you like them or not, we all going to come together and fight for them, and we're going to stand up for them. And I think that's one way of winning this thing. And, Ali, I think that's a great idea to have that show on the 1st. And that would be great. Also, we'll be in Chicago on the 23rd. I want you to get there early, between 8 and 8:15. Don't go in until you see me. But I want to make sure that you be there. I already submitted your name. So, Ken, you should be getting an email pretty soon about it. I'm almost positive you get one, even though I already submitted your name also. So we'll see how that turn out. But it looks like to me that we're pulling together, and I'm really sorry what happened to Elvira, but it shows what you can do when you work together. When we work together, we can get things done. Until we start all working together, there's no big ads and little U's. We don't want to challenge nobody. We need the numbers to get this thing done. Tonight we have 174 people on the line, so it's obvious we're doing something right. And I think y'all did good. I got a chance to listen to some of it, but we have to stay focused and don't move, and don't be afraid to stand up. And we're going to stand up for each other and make sure people understand that we're serious about what we're doing. The key thing now is getting the word out to get us credibility. And that's where we're at right now. And I think we're doing a magnificent job. And, you should give up, everybody should give themselves a hand clap for that, because I think some of the things that have came about is so tremendous. And people begin to understand this thing. And I am truly, truly grateful for everybody and the work that you're doing. Amy, you and Gloria, y'all keep doing that research. Because, like I said, what I like, make sure that when we say something, we have evidence to support what we're saying. To me, that gives us credibility. And if we say something, we can tell them, like, if you read an article, tell the people where the article came from so they can go look it up. And if you write something, let them know that you got your information from a certain newspaper or a magazine or book or off the Internet and who wrote it and stuff like that. So the more stuff we do like that, the more evidence we have to support what we're saying, we'll get this thing done. So, let's stay focused. Let's not get sidetracked. And all of us, everybody, we're going to all work together. Regardless what anybody else say, we're going to stay focused, be strong, and deal with it. And take it one step at a time. So let's get ready and do the things we need to do. And let's help each other. Those of you out there who want to send money, send something to Ken. Send it to Ken Rose. And it's not for Ken Rose, it's not for me, it's for everybody. So that's how we're going to do it. In case somebody needs to go to Washington, D.C., or come to Chicago when we get ready to meet U.S. Representative Bobby Rush, we'll be ready for him. So let's deal on that level. But listen, we don't have any more time tonight, but I want to thank everybody for tuning in. But remember, I want everybody to stick together, and Elvira, she needs help. So let's help her. Let's give her the help that she needs. And Elvira, we'll talk later. I will talk to you later. I got something I want to say. So I will talk to you all later. We don't have any more time. I will see y'all, everybody, Sunday. And we'll talk Sunday. And Amy, you and Gloria, y'all have something y'all want to read Sunday?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right, then. Well, we'll be
ready
Sunday.
Everything.
So
we're
going to
read some of these government patents, and we're going to elaborate on them.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, Ken, you got anything you want to say? Ken Rose. Ken Rose is gone. All right. Well, listen, we'll say goodnight, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, then. Good night, all.
Good night.